Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red, go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go. Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galliano and Boyd. Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Yeah.
Big Red,
hey, welcome to the Big Red Cobcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
And we might have Tweety, but I know who we do have here right now. We have former Husker wide receiver, former NFL wide receiver, tight end slash fullback, and Omaha North grad, Niles Paul. Niles, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just trying to get through this quarantine, this pandemic, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And Niles, are you doing what I think you're doing right now?
I'm rolling a blunt?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
You have instantly become Joe's favorite guest on this podcast.
Absolutely.
You and Grant Wistrom, because Grant started a medical marijuana business. So you and Grant are tied for the top spot with Joe.
I think maybe we need to start a new podcast called Herbie Husker.
Herbs and Huskers.
I'm down.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I asked you before, but I want to ask again now that other people can hear it. How's your body holding up, man? Because you got the living shit beat out of you in the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah. We laughed about it, but it's the truth, man. And some days are better than others. Some days are better than others, man. But, you know, I feel like my body, I tell my pops all the time, like, I feel like an old man waking up sometimes, you know.
Yeah. I have a friend who played offensive line in the NFL. Did you play with Jacksonville, Niles? I don't think you played at the same time.
Yeah, 1 year.
Okay, his name's Ephraim Salaam, and he played like 10, 12 years in the NFL. And I did some podcasts with him, and he cannot walk down the stairs to my apartment without holding the rail and going foot per step. Like, this man's 6'8", and he has to go foot, step. Foot, you know, like, he can't go down two steps at a time or even one at a time.
I can't stand up longer than 30 minutes without my ankle swelling up and it becoming painful, you know, like, because I broke my ankle back in 2015.
Sure.
I can't even if I go like trying to play basketball, I probably got one good game of basketball and then I'm out.
Me
of
too, but it was in 2012.
you got one more good game of basketball left in you than everyone else on this podcast combined.
Combined.
So, You said it got worse when you got moved to tight end, right? Because which I could imagine, that makes sense.
Blocking.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, my presence though, like when I came in as a rookie, I was, you know, I had two wide receivers drafted in front of me, but where I stood out was like my physical presence and my toughness, and they loved that about me, and they knew that I would do anything for the team. Yeah. And so you know, when they called me. And Coach Shanahan called me and was like, hey, we want you to play tight end. I'm like, how is that even going to be possible? But and then, you know, they was like, oh, it's easier than you think. You're just going to be shooting the people. No, that wasn't the case at all. I had to go against, and I told Pat earlier, I had to, one of my, there's two memories that I remember specifically where I just came on the sideline and I just was freaking out on the coach. Like, why are y'all doing this to me? Like, first one was they put me, I was on a down block. On an inside run against Aaron Donald.
I was gonna say Aaron Donald.
We get graded, right? We get graded. He flicked me like a rag doll, just knocked me smooth off the play. Like it wasn't even like an effort.
No.
The second time was when we were playing the Oakland Raiders, and they had me matched up the whole game against inside. We had an inside run zone plan. That means man to man the whole game. I'm going against Khalil Mack.
Oh,
Khalil Mack is talking shit to me. He's like, y'all got a receiver on me? You got a receiver? I'm cursing at my coach like, what? Just help me. Help me. Somebody help me, please.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, those two guys are used to having two linemen on them every play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
You're a gnat. No offense.
That was all
but to
was.
Them, you are.
That was all it was.
Well, and then you said, because were you essentially an H-back then?
I wish they gave me one handoff and was supposed to score a touchdown, and it didn't because the homie, he was my friend, I'm not going to put him on blast. He missed his block, and I got fucking destroyed. I got destroyed.
What was the one you were telling me when Joe came in? You were talking about one where you went head-to-head with Sean Lee.
Oh. Okay, that was probably one of the worst concussions I've ever had. But
ooh.
Yeah, me and Sean Lee, they moved me to they let me play fullback because I could play it. And you know, Sean Lee is just such a smart player that we had ran a goal line play, but we had ran the same play twice. The first time we had got a nice chunk for it, but Sean Lee immediately recognized the same formation, the same calls.
Right.
And he took off before the ball was even like and met me in the backfield, so I had to make a conscious decision. I said I could look like a pussy on national television because we were playing the Cowboys.
Right.
This was a big game, and I can just let him run through me, or I can just throw my body at him and we can just have this collision. He knocked me smooth the fuck out. The last thing I remember waking up is to Jay Reed, and I'm like Jay Reed, you know, he was kind of swelling up. Like I must have been out for a little bit, but he was like. I'm like, where that thing from my hair? You talking about your helmet, bro? Your helmet? You don't know your helmet?
And Reed's had his share of his bell rung too,
Yeah. I mean, we were put in situations where we were blocking some people that, you know, we probably shouldn't have been blocking.
Seems like the Redskins put their tight ends in danger quite a bit.
Well, shit. What is it about Washington and like some of the worst injuries? Like
yes.
you talked about your ankle. Then there's Theismann. There's Alex Smith. There's
you don't want to play quarterback or tight end for the Redskins.
Dear God,
it's yeah, like being yeah. a it's like being a keyboard player in the Grateful Dead.
I'll definitely say this. I think I had tweeted something a couple of weeks ago, which I think people kind of took out of context when I was like, "Oh, Jay Reed's going to San Fran," and it's like, "Oh, he's injury prone," but. I wasn't never taking a shot. I love Larry. I love those guys over there at the trainers that they used to have at Redskins mm-hmm. Park. But when you go to a different facility, you get to see, like, as soon as I got to San Fran, and I wasn't even there long, but, you know, they had a whole rundown on me. They told me what they were going to do for my leg.
To yeah. keep
me from. They, I mean, it was just little, oh, we're going to do this for your reps. We're going to limit you here. We're going to pad you up with this. They tested me with custom concussion shit. Different types. I mean, it was just it was like a different experience.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow. Like, I was like, damn. Like, I've never, like, that organization was like, I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is different. You know? And to which I was, when I got to the Redskins, we were in a transition period where we didn't even have an indoor facility.
Oh,
we were practicing at Lifetime Fitness.
Fuck, really?
Jesus.
Well, Daniel Snyder, you know, he's it's tough for him right now. You know? He's just picking up change on the ground to try to pay his bills.
So, I want to go back to Husker time, since this is a Husker podcast.
Yeah.
Pre-concussion.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, shit. How many did you have? Did you have any at Omaha North?
I probably had a couple concussions at North too. That was more so in my younger years, when I was a sophomore, you know, and I was just trying to play reckless and get noticed.
Right.
But yeah, well, so when I think of you as a Husker, I don't know if I'm alone in this or not, but I feel like the image that's always burned in my mind is post punt return spike against Arizona in that 2009 season.
Yeah. I mean, which was it's crazy that you said it, because the image that's burned in my mind when I think of Husker football is fumbling that wide open touchdown against Iowa State. And for some reason, I feel like that haunted me throughout my whole career, because it even happened against the Texans when I was like on an 80-yard pass, and I'm just like, it's just engraved in my head. Like, I don't know how it happened, you know? So, but that spike in specific, like, anybody who knew me and knew what I was going through, man, I was fucking up that year. I was going through shit, and with my family, I got arrested earlier that season. And it was just like, I know athletes say they don't, but they see a lot of the comments people say about them. And I just saw like a lot of Husker fans like, yo, get him out of here and all that. So that spike to me was just like, I'm here. Like, I went through all this. I faced all this adversity, and I was MVP and everything. And so that was a big moment for me. Like,
kind of an FU spike there.
He said that was a big. That's a big FU spike.
Yeah.
Did you get any shit when you came back to the sideline after the penalty?
No, I didn't get no shit. I didn't get no shit because Coach Gilmer already, like, he already knew. Plus, we had been watching the Miami documentary.
Oh.
So that's why P. Allen was out there, like, going crazy. Like, so we were already going to be turned up the whole time. But that was just the icing on the cake, you know. Yeah.
Even though most Nebraska fans will – I think we'll all say that Nebraska kind of got fucked at the end of that Big 12 championship game.
They fucked us.
All right, you roll with that.
Is this the one second game?
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends, and obviously I was on the same team with Colt, and we talked about that all the time. But I was on the other. I was damn near in Mac Brown's face from the other sideline, like, we won. And they called it back, and I just had to take that walk of shame, and I knew we was going to lose. I knew
you know,
it. I just knew
that it. Happened because Sue was too good. Any other lineman does not get close to him in that time, and so it gives him an extra second to throw it out of bounds. Sue is so goddamn fast that he got to him before the clock ran out and made him throw it.
Sue was so dominant that year. It was crazy.
Did you ever have to go up against him in the NFL? Like, when a Husker goes against the Husker, how does that go in the NFL?
Me and Prince got to do some battles in the NFL. He got the best of me. He stopped me from scoring a touchdown on a slant route. But so he never lets me forget about that. But
sure.
I never got to go against Sue.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That'd be. Do you think he would take it easy on you because you were a Husker, or would he just crush you anyway?
No, Sue's going to be Sue. He ain't going to take
it. Well, so we talked concussions and then Sue's dominance in that game. Do you think Colt McCoy's bell was wrong in that game?
No, I think his bell would be if I remember correctly, yeah. He was getting smacked and he got slammed to the ground pretty hard a few times.
Yeah, because it did not seem like he was himself by the end of that game. Because The fact that he went that long to the sideline and you know, before that final play, that felt like he just was out there wandering.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with Big Sue chasing you down, though? And he's been getting to you all day.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, if your name's Colt McCoy, you're kind of operating on a concussion level most of the time, I think, anyway.
So was that...
I love me some Colt McCoy down. I gave him a hard time about it, but I love me some Colt McCoy.
Oh, you played with him in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Good quarterback. I like him.
The winner.
Was that Sue performance, like, is that the most dominant you've seen a player on the field?
Yeah, no, by far. Like, I've never seen anything like that. Like, I used to sit back in amazement. I was like, yo, this man is really, like, on a different level.
Yeah, you're watching a Hall of Famer. It's something. Especially for you. I mean, look, you're an elite athlete. You are the top 1% of the top 1%. So when somebody of that level is commenting on someone else and being impressed, it's like another level, the top 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Yeah. we'll figure out the decimal points on that at some point. Yeah. was that your junior year, 2009?
Yeah, it was my junior year.
Was that end of the year just felt like that may have been, I don't know, for me, like one of the last like real memorable times of Husker football. Is that how that kind of feels to you too?
Absolutely, because even the next year, like I remember, and like a lot of people don't even talk about it, but I remember Coach Collini pulling us in the office, and he asked us because we had got fucked that year out of a bowl game.
Yeah,
and was that the 1 second? That was the 1 second year, right?
The second, yeah. When
2009 is the 1 second.
Well, and then 2010 was losing we had to Oklahoma, and then had to play Washington a second time.
Even though
you guys had beaten Missouri got the better bowl for some reason.
Right. So Coach beat Washington asked too.
Us, yeah. So Coach Pelini asked us after, because I was hurt, so I didn't play in that championship game, but I was going to play in the bowl game. And he said, "Do you guys want to play in the bowl game?" And I said, "We all were like, what's the bowl game?" And he said, "We got picked up for the Holiday Bowl again." We said no. We weren't going to play in that bowl game.
Wow.
Then Coach Pelini brought us all back in the office, and he's like, "Let's just go out there. Let's just have a good time." You know what I'm saying? Like, we told him, like oh, I'm talking about from the top to the bottom, like the Unity Council. Everybody was like, "Nah, I don't want to play in that game."
Wow.
We thought we got played, and we weren't, and like we thought we were better than played in the Holiday Bowl.
Yes.
And obviously, that reflects on the shitty performance we put up.
I mean, it just seemed like it was that was destined to happen. Like, there was such a letdown after that conference championship game, and then having to play a Washington team that you guys had already smoked on their field.
Not a smart move either for the fans. You're not going to get Husker fans to travel to a rematch against Washington State.
Washington.
We did not want to play them. Yeah, we did not want to play them again. We was like, what was the point?
Yep.
Wow.
And it showed in the game. I think there was a little of that. They had something to prove.
They had something to prove, and we didn't care. So it was just like.
Patient, too. That's exactly right. You already beat their ass once. And now it's like, yeah, yeah. It's that. Looking back on that was a very dumb decision. I just got mad.
You did, but it's all right. You're moving around, so we couldn't hear you anyway.
Oh, good. That's always good.
So what are you doing now these days, Niles?
Right now I'm in Jacksonville. Right now I'm in Jacksonville. I did a few things. Like, I know I had like a little entertainment business in which I was bringing artists to Omaha and just trying to like open up the city to different, you know, to different things. And I obviously had to put that on pause with everything going on. You know, I own a few properties. I really just stay out the way in Jacksonville and mind my business and smoke, you know?
Hey, man, that sounds like a life.
I love it, except for the humidity. Now, if you don't mind me asking, now, Florida is a lot different than California, where I can walk down the street and get whatever I need. I'm not asking who your guy is, but like, do you find like in Florida, like, you know, I've lived all over the country and it's not been legal most of the time, but I've had it in my pocket every single day of my life, which is kind of my...
You run through an experience and you figure out who actually got something that you like.
Yeah. That's my biggest level of white privilege that I've ever experienced, is having something in my pocket that people are in jail for 20 years for having the same exact thing.
No, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It is. It is, man. And Florida is probably a good place to grow it. Probably got a pretty decent amount of it going on there. And now, if you don't mind me asking, because this kind of prompted this whole discussion.
Yeah.
You got a blunt there. Uh-huh. I know I'm going to get some people mad in the weed community. Mm-hmm. I'm not a blunt person at all.
Yeah. I know people like that though.
The paper on there, it's like smoking a cigarette and a joint at the same time.
I think because I smoke like specific like leaves and like tobacco leaves, I think it's that added element of like, you know, the tobacco leaf and the tree. And I just take a straight leaf. Yeah, I can actually.
I saw you had a straight leaf wrapper there.
Yeah, so it's like, it comes in like a big pack like this, and this leaf, and I just peel off parts. And it's like, I mean, this is a small pack, but it's like.
Interesting. It's nature's papers, I suppose, is the way to look at it.
You know, that's how I feel about it. And I feel like that's my favorite smoke. You know, I used to like, I was a thing where I was smoking cones and stuff every day.
Yes. Well, the cones, I lived in Amsterdam for a year and that's where I found out about cones. But I need ice. I need water. I got old lungs. So that's
good to go.
Yeah.
I told you Joe was going to fanboy out in a second.
Oh God. Yes. I mean, you know, I'm usually really bad at making these appointments for these interviews, but I had this one in my book.
I knew when we connected with that tweet. I knew this conversation was happening. I knew I wouldn't have to convince Joe.
You had to.
Yeah.
That's why I thought Tweety was going to be here, because Tweety's grown a couple of good sized plants. He's actually harvested his own stuff a couple times. He keeps turning it into gummies and shit, which is dumb, but that's his thing. Yeah. But out here in California, you can have six plants, so I'm thinking of trying to start that up.
In your condo?
out on the balcony. I got two cats and a seven-year-old, so I got to be careful.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That none of them eat it.
So I know you said right now you're in Florida. How often do you make it back to Omaha?
Maybe like once or twice a year. I try to come back for, you know, specific, you know, holidays, or if I got like something going on at North High. But other than that, I just kind of stay out the way.
Fair enough. Yeah.
How long have you been out of the league? Two years?
Yeah, this is my, technically a year since I retired.
A year since you retired?
But I've been out about 2 years.
Do you still stay in touch with NFL teams? Like, do you have any interest in working later on in the NFL in any way?
No. Those guys,
uh-oh.
You can't blank out for a second.
I think we lost sound. It's all
he's
good.
Putting it in. He's got a new – go to the right ear.
I think we got you now. We tried talking with Abdul Muhammad last week for the second or third time, and he's always out fishing. So, like, we lose reception with him all the time. So this is nothing.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I was saying those guys, just to get like an intern level job, which is like, I respect the shit out of them. They're there like more than the players, like 5 a.m. to 3 p.m. Like, I wouldn't want to do that. They don't get to see their families. They don't get to do anything fun. And football is your life. So I respect anybody who wants to be a coach.
Do you think that is overstated? Like, do you think like coaches in the NFL spend all this time, but it's wasted time in a way? You know what I mean? You always hear these stories of these guys who are at the campus 20 hours a day and everything. It's like, is that productive or is it just trying to justify their shit?
I didn't think it was like, I don't think it was productive just to be there all day. Like, I think you get your job done, you leave, you come back
the next day. It's fake hustle.
But if that's the culture of football, then they're going to do it, I guess. But I will say that being under Sean McVay, because he was my tight ends coach, he's a genius. And he's one of those people who used to be there all day. And he would break down – his biggest issue for being a tight end coach was he would break down the whole offense and, like, the whole defense. And I'm like, Sean, just tell me what the fuck I need to do.
He was getting ready for another job.
He knew everything. So I knew he was going to be a head coach. That was obvious. It was like he was one of those people that was up there all the time. But he just loved watching film, breaking film, talking about film, making plays. Like, that was just
And so stuff like that stands out. You can tell when you see a guy like that, you're like, this dude is destined.
He's a mad scientist. Yeah.
Who are some of the other people who you've run into fit that category? Like, some of the best coaches, genius type people.
Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
He was an offensive coordinator. I was like, okay, I knew he was going to be a head coach. That was obvious. He was just as smart as Sean. Him, Sean, Bill Callahan. He's as far as just like his run game mentality and like his knowledge of where people are going to be and where to place people. He's a genius too. So his coach is like
that. Amazing how the Redskins had so much coaching talent, but the ownership talent was so low that it just trumped everything. Did you and Callahan ever talk about the Huskers? I'm sorry, Pat.
I was about to ask basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Did he recruit you?
He did. He recruited me. He did recruit me. Him and Coach Watson. And no, we didn't.
No, he probably doesn't want to talk about it.
I think Coach Cali put that in his past, man. You know, he definitely didn't talk about the Huskers.
Oh, believe me, I've tried.
Maybe a little more when Spencer came.
Say again?
Maybe he might have said a couple of slick comments when Spencer Long came, because that he was going to start
that's right. Line.
Believe me, I've tried to get Bill Callahan on this podcast about 1,000 times. So I believe you that he wants to keep it in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Because I've been shot down every time.
I like you keep asking, though, Pat.
I'm nothing if not relentless and nerdy. I'm a combination of relentless and nerdy. And, it doesn't let me down as far as, keeping that appearance. So how different is – well, I mean, I'm sure there's a big difference just within, like, the franchises that you were a part of, but also, those franchises and Nebraska. Like, how different is it with each football stop you've been to? Man.
So when I first got to Redskins Park, I was kind of like, damn, I had it better at Nebraska, you know?
Really?
Like, as far as, like, the facility and everything, like, Nebraska, like, this is what a professional stadium is, you know? Like, college is better than this. And in a lot of situations, college is...
Uh-oh.
A lot of situations, college is...
It's frozen. There we go. We got you back.
The most facilities, but now I feel like the NFL is doing a better job. Just like San Fran, like, had everything updated, and now I feel like the NFL is getting into an era where they're like taking care of the whole field, making things better for their players,
Some teams were ahead of that. I feel like, we keep talking about the Redskins, and the more I find out from you, the more obvious it is why they've had so little success.
Yeah.
We didn't over the material years.
when I first got there.
It's so amazing so funny to me to think of a professional venture like not standing up to. And I realize Nebraska is like top of the top when it comes to investment in facilities and the program. But that just always baffles me to think of that.
Such a huge investment, but it's all ego for these NFL owners, right? I feel like it's not, you know, they have their other businesses that they made their money on. This is their ego play.
Do you
still follow the Huskers?
Yeah, I still follow the Huskers. I tried to follow it as long as I could as far as with the players I knew, but at this point, I don't really feel like I know anybody on the team. I just try to keep up with what's going on.
In a little while, you'll know the kids of guys.
Is it tough following a program when the guy who coached you isn't there anymore?
Yes. The players love Coach Pelini. You know, I know a lot of fans probably didn't like it, and it came out really, but you know, the players love Coach Pelini. He got on your ass sometimes, but you know, everybody loved him. I wasn't there with Coach Callahan long enough to really be like, oh, this is tough. We get a new coaching staff, freshman year. Y'all didn't give me no playing time anyway.
Yeah, it's probably hard to get much of a read on that situation then.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you see a Nebraska turnaround coming anytime soon?
Yeah. I mean, I will say that Scott Frost and his team has done an amazing job of including former players because even like he's reached out, not him personally, but the university has reached out and invited me to dinner with he invited Compton, all these players, and just trying to get everybody on board to have a comp. So I will say he's done a job of trying to connect with everybody.
He knows how important it is in Nebraska.
Yeah. So I will give him that. That was a big credit. And do I see a turnaround? It's more so, I think Nebraska has a team. I just think that where the issue coming is there's a talent deficit because kids are going to the league from schools you can play for in a NAIA school and still be noticed to go to the league. And I just think that that's becoming more recognizable. And the people are starting to we don't need to go to a big name program like Nebraska. I mean, obviously Ohio State and those schools are still prominent, but Nebraska hasn't really, if this was years ago, we haven't really done anything to be in that category of those schools, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Teams kind of look at us and be like, I ain't going to Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, Rondale Moore ends up at Purdue. That feels unfathomable 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And then he's going to go to the NFL, be a first-round draft. It didn't hurt him at all playing at Purdue. He actually got playing time earlier, perhaps.
Yeah.
But were you a Husker – you were a Husker fan as a kid?
Yeah. My uncle and mom was a running back. He was a running back. Yeah, that was my uncle. He's a running back, so I used to be able to watch him play.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a question, Joe? Because I forgot mine.
Who is your uncle?
I'm Ron Green.
Oh, well, yeah.
I've heard of him. I have heard of him. Yes, he did play. He played running back in Nebraska, I think. Yeah, okay. That's a familiar name. Okay, yeah, Omaha, Nebraska players. It makes sense now.
Speaking of guys I've tried to reach out to.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't got him on here. He's all about this shit.
Is he? We love him. I mean, Amon was one of my favorites. I don't like the Packers, but I liked watching him on the Packers, man.
Yeah.
He is my all-time favorite Nebraska I-back.
Yeah.
His pure speed. I mean, well, that's something you got too. Was just pure speed right out of the blocks.
I mean, yeah. He was fast. Uncle Monty was fast. He was fast. Oof.
Man. There's some family talent, I'd say. When you've
got absolutely
a little bit of family talent.
So. How long did you have any period of time after Bo Pelini was let go where maybe you put your Husker fandom on pause, or did that stay with you the whole time?
Well, even when Coach Pelini left, I still had guys there that I personally knew, so I supported them. I supported them, and I just wanted the school to be in the best hands. So I obviously still supported them. I'd never put Monster fan on the balls, but I support the players. Like,
yeah. Did you know anybody who did? Because it did seem like there were some people publicly who were pretty pissed.
Yeah, I mean, nobody expressed to me that. Like, oh, people were upset that Coach Thune got fired, because I told you he was such a loved person from the players, and
yeah,
that was just the reaction we were going to have.
Yeah. Getting back to the current stuff, it's a little bit different though. But like, if you were a player right now, and thankfully you don't have to deal with it, but if you were a player right now, what would be your reaction if you knew there wasn't a season?
Ooh, man, if I knew it wasn't a season right now, and I'm in the league?
No, as a college player.
You can answer it either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I'm in the league, I wouldn't care, because I'm like, you still got to fulfill my contract.
Yeah.
But as far as now, I feel bad for, you know, those guys who aren't going to get the opportunity to like prove themselves or like improve their draft status or improve that. Like, if I was like a first round draft pick already, I honestly would just be like, whatever, and go start training for the NFL, because I know I'm going to get picked up. I know you've just ensured my first round draft pick. I just got to continue to improve as far as showing you that I'm ready. But I forgot those guys that are teetering on fifth, sixth, seventh round or trying to get drafted or trying to put something on film. I feel bad for those guys, because
– and that's a majority of the players. There's not so many blue chippers.
Yeah, there's the 1%. There's the Sue's. Yeah,
right.
The Sue's, yeah.
Sue's are opting out,
yeah,
but everybody else is staying in.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to affect recruiting at all?
As far as like getting players to come to the school?
Yeah, or do you think Nebraska is going to potentially like lose kids who are already on campus too?
We already lost two Florida freshmen who went back to Florida, and I would think some of that has to do with this.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, this is. I mean, I feel like if I was in a situation and I could leave without being punished and go play somewhere immediately, why wouldn't you?
Even closer to home too is another reason at this point.
Yeah, and it's closer to home.
Yeah.
Now, how is Florida – I mean, we all know how Florida is doing, but you're up there in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Like, do you just stay in the house kind of
hunkered down? I'm in the house. I don't even leave the house to get my groceries. I use the app. Like, I don't even leave the house.
Yeah, that's what we do too.
Yeah.
All right, we're all on the same. Good, we're all being safe.
You got any more, Joe? Are we gonna let him do his Saturday?
Well, I think he's rolled two already in the time. Oh, no, wait, let me see those hands. Let me see those hands. Do you have those bent fingers? That pinky finger there. Yeah.
Yes.
Those NFL lineman fingers. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you get when you – that's the difference between a wide receiver and a tight end. You get your finger jammed in a pile.
They popped it back. They popped this finger back in place in the middle of a game. It was crazy.
Oh God. I've met two professions that have fingers like that. Football players and ranchers, like people trying to wrangle cows.
Yeah?
Those are the only two professions I've ever seen with hands just that gnarly.
I think wrangling cows and offensive line play is very similar.
A little bit.
All right. Well,
all right.
You've given us more time than I said you were going to have to give us. So now we'll let you go do your Saturday. Niles, thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Smoke nice up, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks, man. That'll do it for us. That was former Husker Niles Paul. You can follow us. That episode will be out. It'll be out when you hear it. I don't know why I started to explain
that's
it.
That's right. It's out right now.
Yes.
Right as you're listening to it, that's when it came out.
So follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. That's where we linked up with Niles Paul. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. We're on Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. You got anything else, Joe?
No. Just, Fatty rides a bus.
Fatty rides a bus.
All right.
This has been
been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at HuskerFilm.com.